Seattle Mayor Ed Murray's Income Inequality Advisory Committee is still working on a proposal to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We could be getting an update on that later this week. And we've been hearing a lot of different opinions on this issue on this program and on KUOW, including what a big hike in the minimum wage could mean for the rest of the country. Last week, I spoke about that with UW political science professor Matt Barreto.
I think this would be a really big deal to have a city as big as Seattle move to the $15 mark. Would set a lot of precedent, and other people would be looking to this to say, can a city as vibrant as Seattle survive on this? And other cities would probably follow. State legislatures would have a lot of pressure. So I think it's pretty exciting. It could really start a wave here, and we'll see if other cities follow Seattle's lead.
So Matt Barreto and others saying, if we go to $15 an hour, that could be a model for the rest of the nation. Others worried that if Seattle goes to $15 an hour too fast, this could be a negative model. Author Timothy Egan is based in Seattle, and he writes a column for the New York Times, including a recent one, How to Kill the Minimum Wage Movement.
What could blow it, I'm afraid, is a place like Seattle going off the deep end, doing it too fast, too quickly, too far, and giving the opponents of minimum raise wages a reason to oppose these elsewhere.
And you actually wrote about this group 15 Now that's backing a $15 an hour initiative, saying, you know, that this is government sloganeering, and you're concerned about some of the rhetoric, but you're also concerned about some of the policies. What's your concern?
Well, you know, you look at the voices that have come forth in the last 2 months or so. These are progressive voices in a liberal city. These are advocates for immigrants. These are small businesses. These are minority-owned businesses. These are social service agencies. They've all come forth and said, look, if you ram this thing down our throats without much flexibility, if you suddenly enforce a 61%, which is what it would be, wage increase across the board on some people that couldn't do it, you're going to have a lot of unintended consequences. You're going to kill a lot of small restaurants that are incubators for citizens. So you think of a place like the International District moving to Renton because they can no longer to be where they are right now. They just made a plea to the mayor.
I saw that. I mean, do you have any sense of the numbers, like how many restaurants are actually going to close if this happens?
No, I don't think anyone does at this time. You know, they've studied the effect of minimum wage raises in other places, and they've shown pretty minimal effect, but they've never had anything on this scale. No one's studying a 61% increase, so we don't really have any numbers. It is speculative, but all we can say is that people who are normal liberal progressive types are saying, well, let's slow down and look at this. And they're not saying let's don't raise the minimum wage. They're just saying this 15 now is an absurdity that could probably hurt a lot of people that you didn't intend to hurt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so this could be a model for other cities, but it could be a word of caution for other cities. And you think that it could even affect the national debate, which isn't talking about raising the minimum wage
Absolutely.
Nearly as high
as
this.
It's stunning in a positive way that any city in the United States is considering a $15 an hour minimum wage increase. But the flip side of that is if you do it too quickly without flexibility for smaller businesses and nonprofits, et cetera, and a long phase in, you will give ammunition to the opposition. They are already ginning up, if you look at some of the right-wing websites pointing out some of the opposition on this. So my takeaway point is, yes, maybe Seattle will be a magnificent example for the rest of the country at a time when this movement has caught fire. But don't let it be an example for a negative effect, for the forces of regression. That was my opinion column, was that don't let it be an example for people that want to kill minimum wage increases.
I think a lot of folks looking at this in a place like Seattle are kind of scratching their heads. They don't know, as you say, exactly what the impact on the economy and jobs is going to be from $15 an hour beyond the folks that are getting that increase. And so it's kind of a little bit hard to say. I mean, is there any sense that you've got from some of the research you've done about what the ideal minimum wage would look like that would both work for Seattle but also help Seattle become a model for the rest of the country?
Yeah, I mean, again, based on down at Berkeley, they've done a whole bunch of studies on places that have raised the minimum wage. And Washington actually is the laboratory because we have the highest minimum wage in the country and we've had that for a long time at $9.32 an hour right now. And you look at where Washington rubs up against Idaho in eastern Washington, and they're doing fine, the counties in eastern Washington versus the low-wage counties of Idaho. But then you throw in this something on the level of 61%, and even, again, the people who study this say, well, we can't even fathom what effect this would have. But what we do know is that the people who would have to pay this, restaurateurs mostly, non smaller companies, small businesses, are saying this would kill us.
So what's the best way to do it?
I think based on places that have done it right, the best way to do it is have a long ladder. So Hawaii just did it yesterday. They just did it on Monday. And they approved a minimum wage to 10-10. But you know what their phase-in date is? 2018. So they're looking at 4 years to get to $10.10 an hour. The 15 now people want 15 January of next year. So I think the best way to do it is to ramp it up so everybody can prepare and gradually increase prices so that the shock is absorbed instead of a sudden jolt to the system.
And what's your word to them, to folks who are listening to this saying, no, look, the moral thing is 15 now. That's what we ought to do here in Seattle. We can afford it. We have the money. What's your message to them?
Well, the moral thing is, of course, my heart and any right-thinking person's heart is with people who are trying to get by on that wage. I mean, it's awfully hard to rent a one-bedroom apartment in Seattle, studies have shown, on anything less than $17 an hour. That's what you need in King County to rent a one-bedroom apartment. So, of course, our heart is there. But beware of the law of unintended consequences. That's the concern of don't drive out small businesses, don't drive out immigrants, don't drive out startups, don't drive down job creation, don't drive out social service agencies. Those are the unintended consequences if you do it too fast, if you do it by slogan. So my message is to ramp it up slowly, phase it in gradually. You'll be that model, and you'll be that model without the shock to the system.
All right, Timothy Egan, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey, take care.
That's author Timothy Egan on the minimum wage movement here. He's based in Seattle. He writes a column for the New York Times, including a recent one, How to Kill the Minimum Wage Movement. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman, and this is The Record on KUOW.